Hello and welcome to This Way Up. I'm Babette Gallard.
And I'm Terry Shekinovsky. This week, we talk to the marvellous Ferial Adams. She deals with something so close to the heart of every South African, even those of us who live in an affluent area. And that, of course, is water. Do we have it? Is it good quality? Is an ongoing issue for everybody.
So to bring her to you is really special and incredibly important. And I have to say that I walked alongside her in protest. I've heard her speak. And she is such an important focal point for people who really don't know where to go when their water is undrinkable and is making them ill.
Yes. As you'll hear, Ferial combines a PhD in science with very fundamental grassroots work in the communities. And she does that through what she's called active citizen science and through developing her own testing kit. Here's Ferial to tell you about it.
I'm an activist. I've been an environmental justice activist for a very long time and an activist before that, where that kind of thing, it really grates me because it doesn't listen to people. It carries on as if people have no voice. And so that's where I worked on the idea of an activist citizen science. So activist citizen science is about providing a tool, in this case, the testing kit, that people can use to gain knowledge of the environment and to verify the lived experience.
And it's so impressive that you developed that necessary tool, the testing kit. So how much does it cost?
A test kit costs about 200 rand. And that's the cheapest we can get to with all the stuff we're packaging it and all of that.
And then how does that 200 rand kit translate into citizen science?
So how we've used it is communities drinking bad water. Now they have this testing kit. This testing kit says there's E. coli in my water and there's bacteria, right? So two things have happened. One is municipalities say, but that's not a accredited laboratory. Of course, that's going to come in, right? And we go back and we say to people, it doesn't matter. Come and test. And it really gives people a sense of power. I mean, when people see that actually I'm sick because look, there's E. coli in my water, it almost vindicates them. It's like, I'm not imagining these things. That's how we're building the activist citizen science network. And what we do is we've now developed a methodology. So we'd say, okay, test water. Is it good? Is it bad? If it's good, okay, test again in a couple of weeks. If it's bad, alert your municipality. So if it's tap water, contact us for more testing kits. If it's bad again, then we know. Alert your councillor, alert your municipality. Tell them to test. If they don't want to test, go to the media. While that's happening, you create awareness in your community, tell people to boil their water before drinking. So it starts creating an awareness of water conservation, but also builds activism.
That's so interesting. Can you give us an example of a community that you've actually been working with in this way?
In KwaZulu-Natal, there was this community. They did not have piped water for about 3 years. So they were then relying on the river. But they kept saying they were getting sick and no one was listening. So the organization Right to Know tested and found E. coli. And Right to Know, they told the municipality. And the municipality couldn't deny it. So within 3 days of the results coming out, they had water tanks. For the first time in 3 years. After about 4 weeks of the tanks arriving, they had piped water again. So that was a good story, but it didn't end there because then it goes bad. So you've got to build the activism to keep putting the pressure because the minute you think all's fine, we're not testing again, we're good, the piped water was cut again.
That's appalling. So Ferial, once you had developed the test kits, did you approach communities with them or did you wait for them to come to you?
We had no budget. So what I decided is at the beginning, I will go to organizations I know, connect with them. And I went and I chatted to people and said, look, this is the testing kit. Don't you want it for your community? And you know, you do it. It's your results. Some took it up. And some, you know, civil society, there's always competing interests. So I had to be patient and I had to then draw on my activism and run campaigns. We commemorated water days. We created awareness about water can. I know activists across the country. I called them and said, listen, guys, don't you want to test? So I did that with Makanda. I did that in Cape Town. I did that in Durban. And just from my own almost 30 years of activism in environmental arena alone, where I know people. So I was just calling friends and saying, hey, let's do this. And we were also learning as we were going. So we came to the first year, we had about 70 people who tested. We gave out about 100 kits. And we kept building. We tried to go to schools because I think young people need to be brought into this equation. I trained 10-year-olds how to test water. When these testing kits came out, it was very needed. People have been dealing with these water issues for years, decades. But these testing kits have turned that around. And so because it's grown and it's in the media, every time we have an event and I'm on TV or media, I'll get 5 people emailing me saying, we want testing kits. It's like that all the time. And now we have to ask, can you pay for them or not? Because we really need to subsidize the people who can't pay. And that's a growing number of people. Sometimes I like, sure, got through this year. I'm so lucky to have been able to get the kits out to people. Not only one city, 6 cities.
And we were talking before that, in fact, it's only the funding that limits you. So where do you get your funding from?
We have funding. We have one funder, but it's not enough to do the work we want to do. We have another funder, the French Development Aid, and they're going to help us zhuzh up our map. Right now, our maps are very flat. It doesn't give you much besides the towns, the cities, and the testing points that people put in. So we want to put in the reservoirs, the water towers, the wastewater treatment works, the rivers, so that people can click on the layers and make it a much richer map. So if you want to really, as an activist, analyze your ward and what's going on in your ward, then you can. We have funding for that, which is really great. But the part about the activism is still harder.
So we've been talking about funding, and you're saying that the activism part is still harder. But where do you find your activists? Where do they come from? Who are they?
We're having an activist school, and we're bringing in people who are not part of normal organizations. No, we're bringing people in who came to us and said, please train us. We're now sitting with about 24 people. And we're having this activist school. It's going to be about water science, the politics of water, awareness around water, geography, understanding water in South Africa. Then we'll do training on testing, training on uploading the data to the map, and then saying, okay, so you tested, the water's bad, now what? In our methodology, we said, contact your counselor. So I'm trying to get someone in, so a previous counselor, because I don't want someone who's political now. Come and tell people what a counselor can and cannot do. And then getting in a journalist. What can you do? How can you write? How do you send stuff? So really empowering and getting people to understand it.
After the break, Feryal tells us about how WaterCan started. She also explains the very serious issue of the water mafia. And of course, she gives people like us some tips about how to take action.
I did a science degree, but I went to work in what was then Department of Foreign Affairs. And I was there for about 6 years. And that's where I started seeing things that I didn't like. So this whole thing of state capture did not start with Zuma. There's a lot of shitty things happening way back.
Like what?
Just the way ministers were entitled. These were people I looked up to as an activist. They were my freedom fighters. They were my gurus. And then I was in foreign affairs and it was just a different life. And I was posted to Mexico and you get ministers coming there to have meetings. But it's just their whole behavior, the way they spoke to us. One of the ministers insisted that I must go with her. She wanted to go shoe shopping.
And she felt utterly entitled to demand your time.
Nobody questioned it. Not that, not the fact that they treated you like shit. By 2002, I decided I'm done. I left and I went to do my master's in environmental management. And that was probably the best thing I ever did. My love for the environment has always been there. So I did my master's. and I went back into the civil society. And I worked for an organization called Groundwork. And they're based in Pietermaritzburg. And they were doing air quality. And this is where citizen science for me started brewing in my head. Because they had this method of testing air quality using a bucket, a bicycle pump, and they trained people to do this and send off the results. They could challenge Sasol and ArcelorMittal for air pollution when all the time Sasol and ArcelorMittal were saying the air pollution is not their fault, it's the home fires. But now they did the test and they could show that the pollution that was there was not home fires, it was industrial level pollution. And that for me was mind blowing. Because it shook my world as a scientist. You really believe this is not scientific or things like that. And then you see it and you see what it does, that you actually have to rewire your brain of what is science. And that was a whole different pathway for me.
Where do you find the biggest blockages or points of resistance?
Our biggest challenge is at municipal level, and they just shut the door. So you can scream outside that door, they just ignore you. And what do we do then? We keep building, we keep making it so it's not just our voice, create complete awareness on what that issue is and put it in the media. Because then they're forced to change, not by the small water can, but by a whole range of people. And then they don't like it. Some of the government people call me a troublemaker, but it's okay. And of course, you need investigative journalists. Because I can also say things and maybe I'm biased, but you need someone to investigate to say, actually, there's a story here. I wrote about the water tanker mafias in 2017, and I think it was published in 2018. And the article, by the way, was titled Water Wars. I don't know if you remember, but in the early 90s or late 80s, there was this whole thing about the next world war will be around water. And then it went silent. What I was saying in that chapter is that actually it's happening, but not how we thought it would happen, like a World War I or World War II. But I talk about the fact that the water wars are not going to be just between countries. It's going to be within countries and class-based. If you take Day Zero in Cape Town, where boreholes were owned by the very wealthy or the middle class, they had their water, they were safe. You even had some guy trying to bottle it and sell while people are going through a point of they're going to die of not having water, right? So I call that the borehole bourgeoisie. And if you think about every time we go through a water issue, everyone's dropping a borehole. So then people say, I can do what I want. It's borehole water. So it creates that very selfish vibe.
Can you give us an example of how the borehole bourgeoisie and the water mafias actually operate?
I was running a training in Marikana and had these people come, very like new business people, and training them, and he was like, yeah, we want to test boreal water. So I said, look, we don't advise testing boreal water with our kit. The reason being is that boreal water is not uniform. You may not have E. coli or some of the chemicals we test for, but boreal water needs to be tested by a laboratory for metals, especially Marikana. So he said, we're going to sell our boreal. And I said, you can't sell your boreal water. You need a license to sell your boreal water. He says, watch me. So that's that. And then the water tanker mafia in KZN, one of our partner organizations, I'm not going to give a name because I think they're still at risk of being attacked. There was an area where they had employed a few people to clean the river. And they would go every week. And the one time they were told that the community business forum wants to meet them. And they went and they met and they were a bit worried because they were women and all these men. These guys said, we know you're getting money. You have to pay us for them to come clean. If you don't pay us, I can promise you that they will be safe. It was very traumatic. These two said, fine, we need to think about it. And they never went back. But that's the kind of thing that's happening.
What do you think it takes to make an activist? Why do some people sit with the bad water, with the mafias around them, and some people take action?
I think it's a combination of things. It's access to information. Many of the groups I'm working with, they've had some kind of awareness program or they went to a workshop. It spirals. So it's partly that. I think there are people who have been activists in different arenas and there's just a resilience of not accepting no. And then also the bottom line of no, this can't be. There has to be equality and justice. And I think that's what drives people. It's not always easy. There are times where I feel like there's so many issues around water and sanitation. I don't know which way to turn. And those days are overwhelming. So I feel like my work's not making a difference, or it's just too much. I can't do this. Sometimes it's one day you'll get like 10 issues.
And how do you deal with that overwhelm? How do you not get overwhelmed by despair?
So it's a case of don't try to do everything. It's like when you're drowning, if you fight the water, you're going to go down fast. I do mind maps. I run. I'm a dancer. So all of that, it's like it feeds me fuel. So it's a combination.
Does it feel like you're just firefighting all the time?
It's been a hectic year. Literally, I felt like we were firefighting. And I did say that to someone. I said, I can't think. Like, where is this going? It was a ship that was turning around and around. And that's a horrible place to be. So I decided I'm not going to have clean water in South Africa in 5 years. I would like to see 1,000 water can activists across South Africa in 5 years who are testing regularly and hold their municipalities accountable. I'd love to see Water Can that has a team that can just do what we need to do. And just to also create better awareness around climate change, around how we are not in a waterful country. I'd love to see people being more mindful about their water and recycle their water and reuse their water and a bucket in your shower. It must be the norm. It mustn't be just because there's a drought. So change behavior. I want us to rethink our relationship with water. Can we get to public pools again, where you meet your friends, where you have a picnic, but now you're all in your own little house? No, I'd love to see communal parks and communal swimming pools. And it's not going to be 5 years, but that's my bigger vision. The irony of it all is it's not such an unreasonable vision anymore, because where we are is going to demand that that's where we go, and we will go willingly.
Any advice, Ferial, for anyone who wants to follow in your footsteps?
Start small. Start with your friend. Then start blogging about it, TikToking about it. The two of you make a cool video of something you're passionate about. And then get other people. Don't only rely on social media. Get the bodies. So it's two of you. Now you got a partner. That one's got a part. Bring them in. Create a family vibe. Create a vibe. Talk to your friends. That's how you build a movement. Keep the connection to people. It's not all social media. The old school activism of connecting to people, caring about people. That is the starting of anyone wanting to be an activist.
How can people get behind you and Water Can?
I want a range of things. I want people to become Water Can supporters somehow or another. Put it out there that you want to be part of this Water Can family. Either you test water, you can test your water once a year, your tap water, your stream, your river, whatever. Upload your data, create awareness around you. But then also, if you form a Water Can network, get local businesses to fund you, to do river cleanups, to test your water, to monitor, and then you have control over that. We would love people to fund us. We really need big funding. Someone must be able to agree with me that the testing kits must be for free. So that's how I think people can get involved. Buy testing kits. If you don't want to test, phone us and say, I want to buy 10 testing kits for someone. How can we do that? You don't always have to give us money. Give us your time.